lot of earnings to cover this week.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're set to get reports this week from the big banks. Citigroup reports tomorrow before the bell, Wells Fargo and others later. And some economic data comes down starting tomorrow with the housing market index, the producer price index released on Wednesday, and we're going to get first-time jobless claims numbers from the Labor Department on Thursday. Well, the financial crisis wasn't the best time to take a company public. Investors got scared and lost their appetite for anything remotely risky. But as the economy has recovered, they've gotten a little more confident. Bankers are hoping that'll mean more initial public offerings. Alisa Roth reports.
No matter how you count it, 2009 was a terrible year for IPOs. Jay Ritter is a finance professor and IPO expert at the University of Florida. By his count, there were just 41 IPOs last year. He predicts 2010 will look a lot like the last quarter of 2009 when things picked up to two or three offerings a week.
Not very healthy by the standards of the 80s and 90s, but a lot better than it was a year ago at this time when the IPO market was dead.
But the fact that there are any IPOs at all is a good thing. Alex Genzier advises banks and companies at the law firm Jones Day in New York.
The return of IPOs represents to some degree a normalization of the flow of capital in this country, which is a very positive thing.
More IPOs doesn't necessarily mean a windfall for banks, but underwriting can be a gateway to more lucrative business from those companies in the future. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
U.S. markets are closed today for Dr. Martin Luther King Day, but overseas markets are still trading. European markets are higher right now, an average of about 0.5%, maybe a little more, for London, Frankfurt, and Paris. Asian stocks were mixed today. The Hang Seng and Nikkei were both off about 1%. On Wall Street last week, the Dow was off about 0.1%. The S&P gave back about 0.8%, and the NASDAQ was lower last week by 1.3%. Well, nothing is official yet, but we're expecting to hear today about Conan O'Brien's departure from NBC's The Tonight Show. A deal to pay O'Brien a reported $30 million or more to leave NBC would make way for Jay Leno to return to his old spot as host of the show. Now, the primetime slot that Leno is leaving opens up an hour for long dramas and scripted television shows, and that's vindicating a lot of producers and writers, as Marketplace senior business correspondent Bob Moon explains.
For TV producer David Shore, NBC could stand for New Business Connections. The network just ordered up a fresh primetime pilot from the creator of the hit Fox drama House, and the odds he'll be able to sell his remake of The Rockford Files just improved.
NBC now has to fill up 5 more hours of scripted programming, which frankly opens up the competition a little bit. I think the bar has been lowered for me.
Shore says Hollywood's breathing a collective sigh of relief, but he never doubted scripted dramas would survive.
It was the same concern when game shows looked like they're taking over a few years ago, and news magazines looked like they were taking over a few years before that. The networks and the studios are always looking for some less expensive way of filling up programming, and luckily for us, it all seems to come back to scripted programming eventually.
He is not the only one who sees a happy ending. Jack Kaiser is with LA's Economic Development Council.
If you have, say, a one-hour scripted series, you're looking at about 150 direct jobs on that and then another 400 indirect jobs.
Multiply that by up to 5 hours of new shows, and Kaiser says the skies for the entertainment industry just got a lot brighter. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, working to strengthen America by empowering more young people to achieve educational success beyond high school.
In Mexico, more cars on the road means more efforts to curb speeding. In many towns, speed bumps do a lot of the law enforcing. And because they're made of concrete and asphalt, they can do a lot of damage to cars. One man says he has a solution. From Toluca, Mexico, Frank Contreras reports.
Inventor Carlos Cano calls his latest brainchild the intelligent speed bump. His prototype weighs in at 132 pounds. You need two men to carry it.
Es pesado, ¿eh? Vamos a ponerlo aquí.
Imagine a regular speed bump made out of metal, not concrete. It has a gently inclined front ramp that measures the speed of oncoming vehicles. If you drive the legal speed limit, no problem. The bump flattens out, and you feel almost nothing.
Yes, the next generation of speed bump.
Despite Kano's enthusiasm, independent engineering firms are cautious. They say the device needs more testing. We decided to take the intelligent speed bump out for a road test of our own. Here comes our first test case, a mid-sized vehicle driven by Toluca resident Beatriz Millan.
Very smooth. I didn't even feel the moment when my car passed over it.
Every driver who ran over the black metal device preferred it to the old-fashioned asphalt and concrete variety. But neighbor Laura Juarez walks past the newfangled speed bump, looking upset. She says the traditional speed bumps are still necessary in Mexico because they give reckless drivers a jolt.
In our neighborhood, they were holding drag races at 2 a.m. You needed the speed bumps, but the government fails to maintain them.
Now inventor Carlos Cano is looking for potential investors in the U.S. and Canada. He says moving his invention from prototype to manufacturing will cost about $100,000. But he's hopeful.
You could see that everyone that crosses the smart bump, the second thing you will see is a smile.
Cano also wants to convince state government officials to buy tens of thousands of the devices. Then he wants to sell them around the world. In Toluca, Mexico, I'm Frank Contreras for Marketplace.
And finally, in Malaysia, a Lebanese man was arrested and charged with carrying $66 million in fake currency. He was busted after a hotel maid tried to cash in a $500 U.S. note he gave her as a tip. By the way, the largest U.S. bill in wide circulation? 100. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.